Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 24th of March. The Sharp Literacy Program here in Milwaukee incorporates the visual arts, gives thousands of at-risk Milwaukee elementary school students an important edge in researching, interviewing, reading, writing vocabulary, and presentation skills. As you know, the gap between urban children who are living in poverty and more privileged students has widened to a distance that our guests will agree Americans cannot afford to get used to. SHARP stands for the Student Historical Art Resource Program. It's a nonprofit organization committed to bridging that gap. And has young authors, and all of the work that they do is published in these gorgeous books, which is something you'll have for your whole lifetime. They have students each year who do a number of different activities. They do writing with master artists. They do visits to the Milwaukee Art Museum. They meet with SHARP instructors, and they are really turned into published authors and illustrators by the end of the SHARP program. We'll talk about the works that they have put together with a special focus on one that looks at race and discrimination, featuring authors from five cultural groups. We have two people with us in the studio to talk about this program and the importance of bridging that divide. And we're happy to have them with us today for the next hour. Marlene Doerr is with us. She is the SHARP Executive Director. Marlene, thank you so much for being with us today. And also joining us is Gregory Tolbert, Principal of Milwaukee Public Schools, Dr. Benjamin Carson Academy of Science. He is has been a classroom teacher who used the SHARP program for several years. And thank you very much, Gregory, for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
So this program has been around for about 10 years now, hasn't it, Marlene?
Actually, we're just finishing our 13th
year. Oh, my goodness.
And 2 years prior to that of development. So we have been at this for quite some time.
And the guiding philosophy is what?
The guiding philosophy is to use the visual arts to encourage children to learn, to want to learn, to fall in love with learning. And it's so much easier when you can see something to better understand it. I was a docent for many, many years at the Milwaukee Art Museum.
Oh, really?
Actually, 15. And I saw how you could visually get children excited about learning, particularly a curriculum that they had to learn.
Mm-hmm. And it's now really in a lot of schools with thousands of students participating in this every year, right, Gregory?
Absolutely.
Tell me how you incorporated it into your classroom. You were a classroom instructor in SHARP for some
time. Yes, I was. Actually, I was in the classroom about 5 years ago. I've been out as the assistant principal. But in our classroom, the SHARP program, it allowed the children to express themselves in a written form. It was thinking out of the box. It got their attention first. And when children are allowed to express themselves in different forms, they're able to be creative. You get their attention, and then you're able to get the content in. So it was a wonderful vehicle to get them excited about learning, especially just from just the rote, you know, here's the lesson, let's write, read. They had the actual opportunity to just express themselves mm-hmm. in an art form.
And as you said before we went on the air, if you give young people a chance to do some big things, there they are doing some big things, right, Marlene?
They certainly are, and they have never, ever left us down. I think children just need the extra push, some extra tools. Let's be creative. We always are directing this to a curriculum they must learn, the Wisconsin Academic Standards, Milwaukee Targets, because we do realize how timely and what a short amount of time a teacher has with a student. So we don't want to add yet one more thing, but we want it to be in concert with what they must teach.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've put together some extraordinary books, and I'm not kidding you, those listening today, they are just beautiful. There's one, Circle of Life, on that looks at elimination of racism and discrimination. Kids Tour to the City of Milwaukee, which is a wonderful idea, The American Dream, and there's one on Washington. There's one on bullying, too, which is all about Wisconsin. There's another one on bullying, is anyone listening, which is a very, very important book. How do you, these areas of concentration are so important to young people in MPS. Do they decide what it is that they're going to produce in each book, Marlene?
Well, no, the standards are set for us. So a third grade child needs to learn about communities, and that's what we focused on. So we threw out, none of this just happens. We have a summer workshop with teachers. So when we decided that the All Around Milwaukee book could be a great tool, teachers got together in the summer and we brainstormed. Let's talk about positive places in Milwaukee. And I believe that summer we came up with well over 200, but of course we couldn't use that many. So we went through them, and whichever ones became the most popular, that was a topic we chose. And the next part of SHARP is a full day teacher in service. So we throw out the option, because this is an extra project. Whoever would like to be involved, please sign up with us. So that year we had 28 schools, 27 signed up to take one subject, one place in Milwaukee, research, read, write, visit, and then present their work. So that's how that book got going. So it's educators working for educators. Let's figure out a great idea. Let's figure out how we can throw it out to the classroom and then have the students jump in and work on it, because it's a curriculum they must learn.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that's wonderful about this, Gregory, is you're published. You're a published author at the end of this, right? Here you are. You're in a book.
Yes, we are. It's exciting.
It is exciting.
I must admit, before coming on to this program, I really wanted to do so. Marlene had asked me, Ms. Dort asked me to come on. I'm like, this is huge. Wait a minute. You're talking about going on the radio. I'm like, okay. But Marlene, she has been so dedicated, the passion that she has for our students and our children of Milwaukee to learn and be exposed to these different art forms. I had no choice but to say yes. So, yes, they become published authors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they must be thrilled by that, to see their words, but also the beauty of these books, which people will hold on to. And I understand that other students then use the books that they've written for a course study of their own, right?
Correct. The back of the book is always the challenge for the next year. So we make sure that the students who work on it, let's say this year we're working on a healthy students book, but that book will not be completed until August or September. So next year we'll make sure that the children who worked on it get a copy, and then also another grade level. So at least 2,000 or 3,000 books will be given out to students. But the back of the book will be a great challenge for next year, because we'll throw it out again. Here's the book. Now find other ways that you can research to be a healthy student.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the research process, Gregory. How do the young people research these? These are very big topics: racism, discrimination, bullying, writing a guide to a city. These are not small issues for second, third, fourth, fifth graders.
Well, the teachers go through extensive process with this. I know that our fifth grade class last year, they embarked upon doing an interview. They went all through the city. Most of the students that were in the fifth grade, they did interviews with actual companies and industry. Mm-hmm. And it was just a wonderful opportunity for them. It's things that are relevant, things that are in Milwaukee that they were able to go and experience themselves. Teacher did extensive work with them so that, and prepared them that they may ask questions and become actual reporters. So they do quite a bit of extensive research as they go through this process.
Mm-hmm. And I know that in one of the SHARP moments, you have a lovely newsletter that comes out too. I'd like for you to tell your story of one of the young people who was in one of those high-power corporations doing interviews. I can't remember the name of the company. And you saw her sleeping in a chair. You remember that story?
Well, of course I
yes.
Do.
Yeah.
It's our American Dream book. And as Greg was just sharing, in that book, I believe we have 17 different schools who were given a company. And the idea was that the school would choose which students went for the interview. They could take a tape recorder along so they could bring it back to their class. And one of the corporations who has so generously helped us over the years is Rockwell Automation. While we were preparing for this book, trying to decide exactly how the layout would be, we knew we wanted children to draw something about that company that they would do the interview with, but we also wanted a professional photograph taken of the interview session. So another school stepped up, BEAM, which is the Business and Economics School. They have an after-school program called the Millionaires Club. Now, to be in this club, you have to have certain grades, and you have to have all kinds. You've had to achieve certain levels to be part of this. And that particular year, last year, the process was to do some photographs for Christmas and have Christmas cards, and then these children were making some money because the school was business and economic. It would then be invested. They could watch how their money would grow. So they came to us and asked whether they could be the professional photographers. And I must admit, I was a little worried about, are they going to really show up for 17 different places? So they came before our board, along with a couple of their teachers and their principal at the time, Barbara Fisher. And our board thought, why not? I think it's great. Children working for children. Sort of a long way to answer your question.
No, it's interesting.
But the young children that came to do the photograph for Keith Nosbusch and another school that was doing the interview, which was, I believe, Rogers Street School, when it was over, the children from Rogers left. The bus picked them up along with their educator. But in the lobby of Rockwell were two girls and their teacher who had taken the photographs. And one of them curled up in front of the fireplace, and I looked at her, and to my not understanding, I said to the teacher, well, is she feeling all right? And I was concerned, and I was thinking about the people that were coming into this beautiful building, what they were thinking about a child sleeping in front of the fireplace. And this man, her educator, her teacher, said to me, Marlene, she had been homeless for 2.5 years. And that this was one of the very first times, this project, that made her feel of worth. She was using her creativity. She was feeling very complimented that she was going to 17 different businesses, and she was accepted. So it was a beautiful, beautiful creative moment for this young gal. Since then, I have found out that her and her mother and her sister, who had lived in cars and garages and friends for 2.5 years, now do have a home. But our program has reached a lot of hearts, a lot of different ways that I personally am not clever enough or smart enough to have ever thought of. I'm learning as the children are learning. And it's a great process to be. I would never have had a chance to know Mr. Talbert. We become friends. We see each other grow, each other growing in this process.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's talk a little bit, because as everybody well knows, schools have suffered. That's an amazing story, too. What a story. One of those eye-opening moments. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of arts and how the visits to the art museum and writing poetry and having a very careful examination of this country or how you succeed or what your culture is really makes you a good student in other areas and really gives you, you know, this life of meaning. And it's being cut, as everybody knows, in a huge measure all over the country because of the economy that we're in. Why, both of you, make a case for why this simply can't be cut and what you see in terms of growth in all fields of academic endeavor as a result of being in the SHARP program. Gregory?
Well, our children, they learn in a lot of different modalities. Art is one way that they can express themselves. And a lot of times they don't have, when they're exposed to these different art forms, they can understand that they can become something. They can do other things. A lot of times if the academic structure is such that they're not exposed to different things, they don't know what they can do. But when they go out into the art field, when they go to the museums, oh, I didn't know this. Some of them, not all, but they go to an art museum. I didn't know this exists. They're able to do the interviews. I know our students were so excited about doing these interviews, another way of writing and expressing themselves. I remember them going around the building, interviewing teachers and interviewing myself, and they were really good. They were excited about their learning. Art is, we're more than just pen and paper. You have to be exposed to different things. We learn in different modalities. Art provides that. It gives them expression and creativity. So to take away that, it seems like a small thing, but you take away your creativity. It's just like taking a part of you away.
Mm-hmm.
You are able to create. You can integrate art into your learning. So I think that this art form exposes them. It's a different, you're thinking outside of the box. But with programs, a lot of programs being cut, the way that the economy is, of course we need our reading. We need our math. So what's first to go? Basically our art forms, our math, our art, our gym classes, things of
right.
that nature.
Right. So. Yeah. Marlene, your thoughts on that as well?
I think that from what I have seen over the last 14 years and what this agency, Sharp Literacy, has been able to offer, I think it would just break my heart to see it not be funded. And the funding is, we are a nonprofit, so we receive funds from corporations, foundations, individuals, and we do have one fundraiser a year. We've served about 50,000 children.
Oh, my.
We've had an outside assessment. You do wonder, are we doing good work? So we, through Marquette, through the help of Marquette University, we were given an outside assessment company who took a look at what we were doing over 2 years. And we had control schools that did not use the SHARP program. And after 2 years, the results came in that any teacher who would use the program, there are 8 steps, starting in the summer working with teachers all the way through the year, could raise their students' vocabulary and the writing acquisition 40% to 70%, which is huge.
Very big.
And Cardinal Stritch took a look at the program, and they are offering a 3-credit graduate course to the educators who do use this and then do the extra piece with Stritch themselves. We're in the third year of that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a program that's very important. It's an encouragement. It's a help to the school as everything is being slashed. We ask schools to help us pay for a student whatever they can, and then the rest we go out and we fundraise.
Mm-hmm. Let's welcome phone calls for both our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our guests are with the SHARP program here in Milwaukee, which is a program that's been around for 13 years now, and they have done beautiful books on topics that are of extreme importance to young people and to a sense of community and to their futures as well. I do want to spend some time talking about the Circle of Life program, and there is a mural now for those of you who want to see it. Is it still up at Marquette? Yeah, so we'll talk about that and how that came together. All the stories of how the books are composed are pretty interesting as well. So take on this issue of national studies showing that students who are exposed to the visual arts regularly test at higher levels in reading, writing, oral language skills, and why it is that we're moving away from that direction. Programs like this really bring students back to a love of visual arts. They learn interviewing skills, and they really flourish in school as a result of this, and yet we seem to be going in opposite direction. Some of you may be participants in the SHARP program. Maybe you're a student who's been through the program or a teacher who's been involved. We welcome your phone calls. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just a reminder that tonight, the NPR News special coverage of President Obama's press conference. It's a primetime press conference. Robert Siegel will be your host. The president, of course, expected to talk about his upcoming G20 summit meeting and the NATO summit meeting and stimulus and the budget and some incredibly important issues. So that's tonight at 7. You can hear it here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the SHARP Literacy Program. This hour of our program, a wonderful, wonderful program where students interview people and talk about some very important issues important to their lives and then create art and a book that is there forever. Marlene Dorr is the Sharp Executive Director, and Gregory Tolbert is Principal of MPS's Dr. Benjamin Carson Academy, and he has been a classroom teacher who has used the Sharp program. Let's go to phone calls now. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. And we have a couple lines open. Talk about the importance of art in our studies and how you notice it is losing its place on the table as students go through school. Barbara from Fond du Lac is our first caller. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. I was just so thrilled to hear this program today. I trained as an art teacher in the 1970s and did my student teaching at the Fine Arts Elementary School in Racine. And I know from firsthand experience how exciting such a program can be. And I don't know that it was the exact program you're speaking of, but it was a focus of all learning through the fine arts. And the children just couldn't wait to get to school in the mornings. I mean, it was just the most exciting place to be. They came in all full of enthusiasm. We did absolutely wonderful projects. A little boy who couldn't read very well and had never been known to go to the library took himself in there after doing a stitchery class and was hiding books on stitches inside his math book. And his teacher said it was the first time she'd ever known him get excited about anything. And then years ago, I attended a conference of the National Association of the Education of Young Children in Washington, and there was a presentation by a Head Start class from Baltimore who were doing a similar fine arts focus program. And the teacher described, you know, how they'd gone about this, and it was absolutely wonderful. And the culminating event was a trip to the Baltimore Art Museum. And when the children got to the art museum, now these are preschoolers, right, 4 and 5, and they met the docents at the museum. The docents asked them who they thought owned the museum, and the children thought God owned the museum. So they were really surprised and gratified to know that they owned the museum. So that was a very important learning as far as I could tell.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. Oh, you can just hear the enthusiasm oozing from her voice and to hear the excitement of young people. I'm sure you have stories about that with the Sharp program as well, that they want to come to school. They want to learn. This is an exciting way to learn.
You know, I do have one story. It was a student of ours. He's like maybe a junior in high school right now. But when he had first come to, and he's not going to Milwaukee Public School, so I'll put that in there as a tidbit. But he was so excited about learning American history in the fifth grade, you know, with the incorporation of the Sharp program. It was exciting to him. It brought the history to life. U.S. history is very exciting. When he was a freshman in high school, he actually started getting, he was receiving U's in his class. And the parents said, what is going on? And he just told his teacher, he told his parents that it's boring to me the way that they're teaching this. Is so he just slacked off, and all of a sudden he became a U student. They had a parent-teachers conference. They got together. They talked. Found out that, you have to teach it out of the box. You have to make it exciting for him. All of a sudden, the teacher took on that. She went outside of the box. She started bringing some exciting things, making it relevant, putting the art form in him. So I can attest to that, that seems that, that the way that it was taught in the fifth grade, he already had known all this. He was excited about learning. When the teacher brought the excitement back to it, the art forms, and this is not an MPS teacher, I put that in there, he start receiving his A's again. But, you know, the way that things are taught and brought to our children, when you get their attention like that, and I truly can attribute that as directly, maybe indirectly, to the Sharp program. Fifth grade teacher, he just loved the way that U.S. history was taught to him through the art forms.
And we learn things in different ways,
don't we?
Sometimes if we're learning with all this other stimuli, with interviews and with art, et cetera, we learn it better. Marlene?
Oh, absolutely, we do. We seem to be into stories. Another interesting story with the American Dream book, we had children from a private school an inner-city parochial private school, come to Time Warner Cable. And one of the young boys was, oh, they were just thrilled to be coming. But he kind of locked up when he got there. He wasn't able to ask all the questions that he had was prepared for. And as the day went on, the gentleman who was in charge of taking care of these children, their CEO, he didn't spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes. He decided he would spend the morning, and he gave them a complete tour of Time Warner Cable. It was so touching to this young man that when he got back to school, both his teacher and his parent came to school and said, "What went on? We can't figure out what has happened. He has changed."
Hmm.
And we did interview this young man, and he said, "I feel differently about what I can aspire to. I saw new things." No, aspire was not his word. But all of a sudden, he saw all these different job opportunities. Somebody cared about him, took the time to speak with him, and it wasn't, "I'm too busy that I can't be with you." And it was a life-changing moment for this young man. He has decided that sports are not his important endeavor in life. He would like to continue his education. He wants to be more than what he thought he could be. So I think when we give children new ideas, as Craig said, they can look around, they can see, they can aspire to a new idea. They have a way to reach for something that maybe they hadn't been talked about or told before.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your call. And let's go next to Leah from Green Bay. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Hi.
I have another good story. Some friends of mine run an alternative public high school in New York City for inner city kids. And they get permission, for example, to take them to the dress rehearsal of the Metropolitan Opera and things like that, something that the kids had never been exposed to or even heard of. And my friend told me that once they went to a rehearsal, and one of the boys said to her later, "Well, I think that soprano was really off key." And so she said to herself, what does he know? And the next day, the critic said the same thing in the New York Times. But the main point was that he got exposed to that, and he got to see, you know, what else is there outside of maybe the rap that he listened to or... So I hope you find a way to get funding, because I think it's so important.
I hope he became an art critic, did he? A music critic?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But one of the things they do in that school, that high school, is that they actually prepare them for college, and they make sure that every child gets into some school with some scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very intense about their curriculum.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Good luck to your program, the people with you today.
No, thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Okay. And is it a struggle to make this a part of schools in the Milwaukee area or not? I guess the question that I'm asking is this not something that should be just a standard part of the way students are taught in school?
And they do. We try to get ourselves towards that. It just enhances it. As a matter of fact, MPS, right now at this time, we're putting more art. We're putting the gym back into our school. We bumped that up. So, yes, art is in being more included in our curriculum more. A lot of art, we're held accountable for that right now. We're putting that art back in there. We're putting gym classes back in there. We're putting music classes back in the MPS school system. So, yes, we are making that effort to put that back. Fires, just cutting it and putting it off the table, no, that's a done deal. That's something of the past.
Mm-hmm. Who are the instructors for the SHARP program? What does it take to be a really top-notch teacher here?
Well, all of the instructors that go into the classrooms are teachers, and some are teachers and artists, have degrees in art. We want people who walk through the door to understand what it takes to speak to 20 children or 50 children at one time and be able to handle the situation. So the only instructors that go into the classroom are teachers.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to more phone calls. Our number and our lines are open. We have a couple lines open. 800-486-8655. Lou from Milwaukee. Hi, Lou.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say that I am a product of the inner city, but I've been nosy all my life. And I'd like to say that just listening to this program, I know the value, because a lot of inner-city kids have a limited environment. They don't. A lot of them don't even know about the museum, the public library, main library, and so forth, some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is, if kids are exposed to some of these things out of their immediate environment, it gives them something to reach for out
Absolutely.
Of their immediate environment. So I know the value of this program just by listening to it.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that. It's why people travel. It's why we like other cultures. It can also be achieved through reading a whole lot, too, which is one of the wonderful things. And you may want to talk about cultures with the Circle of Life book that you've put together. Just going to different neighborhoods in Milwaukee, going to different time periods by going to the museum and look at art history, going to the lake, for heaven's sake, to look at boats that are coming in from other parts of the world. That's all a part of how we learn about things, isn't it, Marlene?
Oh, absolutely. You've asked about the Greater Circle of Life book. It's just a beautiful jewel. It's a four-year project. It started with Forest County Potawatomi Foundation, Marquette University, and Sharp Literacy. And I must give Tom Belter, the chairman of their foundation, real kudos. His idea was, let's work together with young children and talk about who we are as people. And if we start very young and we understand one another, that there are more similarities than differences, it'll be a starting point to erase racism.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started with a huge mural that's now been installed at Marquette University. It's in their union right outside the ballroom. It's not behind locked doors. Anybody could go and see it. 20 feet long, 5 feet high, and it's based on the Native American medicine wheel of who we are as people, our values, our faith, where we're going in life, where we came from. And then we had four other schools. One represented our Latino family, one our African-American, one the Asian, and one white Caucasian. And they all were instructed on how to do interviews, not just with their parents, but with their elders, to go back into their families. And there was a whole set of questions about what are our traditions, what are our faiths, who did we come from, is immigration part of our heritage, and to tell those stories. So the first blush was to draw pictures. So we use the visual arts again. And that's the mural. And it's all done with beautiful pearls and beads and seeds and what have you. And another piece to that mural was to invite the students, whoever could come, to be on a campus here in the city and know about Marquette University. So the invitation went out. We thought possibly 200 or 300 would come. 600 children arrived. And Father Wild, we must salute him. He offered a lunch in the ballroom.
Great.
He talked to all the children about what he saw in the mural. He understood the process of this. And you could have heard a pin drop in the room. It was just a great day, a beautiful day. We brought a spiritual director down from Crandon, Wisconsin, who in the native tongue did a blessing over this mural, then translated it for the children. Explained what the first flag was in our country, which was the eagle feathers, long before we had a cloth flag. So the children learned a lot. They walked on the campus. They sat in a room where all ethnicity was. It was a beautiful start. So the next year was, let's take this book and let's write about what we drew. And so that's the book you're looking at now. And this year we're doing a video, how to put all these children together. And what is the Greater Circle of Life book all about? So we're in the process of that right now.
And where will that be shown, really?
That's going to be given to educators.
Oh.
There's a bigger project going on with Forest County. I don't know that I'm allowed to even tell the secret, but there will be a big celebration, and it will be shown to the community.
Great. Great. Thank you very much for the call, Lou. Let's go to Ruth next from Altoona. Hi, Ruth.
Yes, I just want to applaud the work that's being done and also make a comment that I haven't heard yet, which is how powerful this is in including children with special needs and doing integration when you're including the arts. I have a daughter who was, we were in a community that had three middle schools, and we asked that she be allowed to go to the charter school, which emphasized, you know, the arts. And she just blossomed in that situation. She was fully included, was even in the school play, she and a friend of hers that also had special needs. And my daughter's now 28 years old, and one of the biggest prides in her life is she considers herself an artist.
That's wonderful.
Awesome. That's
wonderful. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for your call. We'll take more phone calls in just a moment. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the SHARP program, SHARP Literacy, a program that enhances literacy through the visual arts and art history. Very active in the Milwaukee area for the past 13 years. They have produced gorgeous books on a variety of important issues and exposed young people to the world of art and allowed them to become great artists and poets. And interviewers themselves. The number is 800-486-8655. A couple lines are open if you'd like to join our conversation. We have two guests with us, the SHARP Executive Director, Marlene Doerr, and Gregory Tolbert is also with us from Dr. Benjamin Carson Academy of Science. And he has been a classroom teacher who has used the SHARP program for a number of years. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just a reminder that tonight, President Barack Obama is having a press conference dealing with major topics like the international economy and the American economy and his budget, etc. So that is going to be broadcast on National Public Radio. It will be broadcast here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Robert Siegel will be the host from NPR. And if you're wondering where you can hear this, this is the place, 7 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. Our number is 800-486-8655. Darlene from Green Bay is our next caller. Hi, Darlene.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
First of all, I want to say I am an addict of public radio.
Great.
Secondly, you are my dearest and most respected friend on public radio.
Thank you, Darlene.
And here we go. You've touched my passion, art
all right.
history. I have taught art history and secondary art since 1970.
Oh.
And I just have a tiny story. First of all, I want to say that art definitely changes lives. It just breaks kids' minds open and makes them be able to express themselves, which is rare in our school system, the ability to express yourself. I was teaching at Notre Dame Academy in Green Bay and had this student who had just slogged along through high school, probably D's and C's. He just was non-academic all the way. And as a senior, he took my art history class. And in the art history class, I try to break it open their minds and their habits and smash the small thinking and the small worlds we live in, and taught that creative minds and creative solutions have been going on since Crete and Greece and Rome. Since the beginning of time, I taught a semester from Crete unto the present time. And when the class ended at the end of the semester, this young man named Damien came up to me and he said, "Dar, you have taught me more in one semester than I have learned in my entire education." And that happens all the time. And I just cannot say enough for my passionate feelings about art.
Oh, I want to be in your class.
The art. Oh, man, I just go nuts. I just teach. Any way I can, I get into those little minds any way I can. And it's been a wonderful life for me.
Oh, it sounds like it, Darlene. I love people who have been doing a certain job for years and years. You can hear in this woman's voice, she's doing her job and she still loves it. And by golly, is making a huge difference. What could be a better line of work than that? That's wonderful. Thanks for the call. And, you know, I love the phrase that you use. She wants to smash small thinking. You know, there's nothing small thinking about any of these books. And they're done by young people in second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. This is not small thinking at all, is it? Gregory?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I just have to commend the great job that the SHOP program is doing to bring such a program into the schools, because it's just fascinating to see the kids get excited about learning. We have a lot of tools in our MPS system, but this just enhances it. And the passion that Marlene has for this is just overwhelming. You know that she cares and she's concerned about educating our children, exposing them to them the different things in life. And that's why I was excited about coming here. First, I will reiterate, I didn't want to come, but the passion that she has, it has an impact. Like the little story that I was telling about the student that was with us and at our school, Dr. Benjamin Carson. Here he is. He's over in another school sector. He's over in a private school sector. But it has touched someone over there to want them to be passionate about learning, having them to think outside the box. So you never know how this impacts someone. I'm quite sure there are many stories that are not even told. Mm-hmm. But the children are excited. It gets them excited about learning.
Yeah.
And the passion that they have for this program, it just spills over everywhere.
Yeah. Thank you, Darlene. What a wonderful call. And it also spills over into families. I know for one of the books, you taught interviewing techniques for finding family histories, right? And it's also true of this book on racism and discrimination, that they're looking at family celebrations. They're also looking at ways people came to this country and how difficult it's been for Hispanic Americans in many cases to get here, for African Americans to get here. So it's spilling over into family and to their own communities as well, is it not, Darlene?
Yes, it certainly is. And I look at these books as I look at the mural. I look at them as that we are not a melting pot where everything becomes beige, but we are beautiful mosaics, and everyone's little piece put together makes these books, creates the murals. It is the program. The end of our year, we bring our families together, family guardians, to a celebration.
Oh.
Second grade and fifth grade have their own evenings at Serb Hall. We have hundreds of families that come to this. It's very exciting. This year we'll have Michael Fish coming to talk about being a meteorologist for our second grade children, because their subject matter is weather, seasons, the importance of water, our environment. It's bringing all these people in the same room, celebrating the same thing, which is nothing other than education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. Our fifth grade will have our chief come this year. Flynn will be there to talk about building a safe community. What is our community and our topic? Building a nation. We have to start with our own community if we want to build a nation.
Mm. Let's go next to Dagmar from Madison. Hello, Dagmar.
Oh, hi. You know, this sounds so fascinating. I hope these books will be for sale.
I would love
to get them.
Yeah, how do people get these books? I think a lot of classrooms would love these.
They have been for sale in Borders. You can get them there.
Oh.
Not all of the books, Dagmar, are out because there is a limited amount. We keep giving them to the SHOP schools.
Okay.
But yes, there is a way to buy them, and some of them are in Borders.
Oh, and I do have an amazing story that happened to me. I grew up as a little kid in the years after World War II, and for a while there was nothing. There was no paper, no pencil, nothing. Eventually, when I went to school, we scratched everything on spots of slate. You know, they came from destroyed houses.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, there was pencil and paper, and one day I got a marvelous, marvelous gift. I'll never forget it. I had an uncle who came back from World War II, and he was severely traumatized. He was a real outsider. He almost couldn't speak, so I reached out to him. And one day, he came back with the most magic gift I guess I ever received at the time. Somewhere he had found colored crayons.
Oh, my.
And I shared them with my sister and others, but they were the biggest gift I ever received. I still wonder where he found them.
Thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
Thank you. Special story.
Yeah, it sure is. Oof. Lots of them here today. I want to talk about the writing part of this before we have to say goodbye. The hour is flying by. The poems, the stories, that they're very, very young students who have written these. And I'm wondering, and if you want to take this, Marlene, how it is you get young people to write poems.
Well, I certainly cannot take the credit for that because it is their teachers. And I think the teachers find this one more piece that can be implemented in what they need to do. Children need to learn to write. So it's just a creative approach to get everybody doing what they need to do anyway, but it's looking at the subject in a different way. As Greg said before, we're looking out of the box and we're just finding creative ways. The beauty of art is if you look at a painting or you look at a piece of sculpture, there's more than one right answer. And so when a child feels that, they're very open to express themselves. They know that it's not going to be the wrong thing that they've said. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at a vocabulary word that I don't understand, but I've now seen a painting that depicts that word, it makes it easier. Just as an example, our third grade children have to learn words like urban and rural and agricultural and residential. If you're bilingual or if you have not heard that vocabulary, you're still going to be tested on it. But if you visually see what that word means, it sticks with you. And right. There are different approaches of how you're going to explain that. Mm-hmm. We've also found the children that are prepared for the Milwaukee Art Museum because we have shown them the paintings within their classroom through a PowerPoint are much better behaved. They know why they're going to the museum. They know what the field trip's all about. They're excited about it. They can look at a painting and feel some real passion and understanding and have something intelligent to add to the conversation.
Interesting. And then I keep thinking of the woman who teaches art history. I wish we taught that in all kinds of classrooms. Every time we do a show and we do them when major exhibitions open at the art museum, I just love those programs because there's so much. It's not just a painting. You know, it's the historical period and it's the way the person lived and the finances of that person and who they painted for and the differences between, you know, the common person and the royalty. And it just is so involved. There's so much to learn from a painting, isn't there?
Well, I think Greg could really tell us about this when he's a fifth grade teacher, building a nation. That's exactly what we were using was the art history of the Revolutionary War.
Oh.
That was an exciting time. I recall our students, we had the opportunity to look at slides. We had the opportunity to go to the museum. The students had an opportunity to come back. And when the learning is relevant. When you make it relevant, when they can identify with this, it makes it come to life to them. And we have a rich America, the United States. We have some history, and when you make that exciting, I mean, students were thinking all outside. They came up with raps about the American history and how. It was one, they were just out there. And I remember a few students that were in my class when there was a couple of sluggers there that used to get into a little thing. When we would do our history, you know, and it spilled over into other areas also, they were really excited. They were drawing on each other, their background knowledge and what have you, and they were able to just come together and put together an entire piece. But the learning was relevant to them. Right. It was exciting. And we had I still remember that experience. We had a wonderful time. I remember Marlene coming in and showing us slides, and I believe she was impressed as we went on with that semester as to how much our students knew about, and she had given us a couple of compliments. Of course, our heads were big. Miss Pepper's one of the fifth grade teachers that I taught with. It was just exciting. And going to that event at the end of the year where we all came together, and I've heard a minister say that we are better together. We're better together. Mm-hmm. You know, we all don't become beige. No, we're better together. We have a rich heritage. So when children are exposed to this, when they feel the relevance of it, when they're excited about it, they take ownership with it and they can excel.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. All right, so how do people find out more about SHARP? You got a number or email or whatever?
You bet. They can either email, and it would just be mdoerr, which is D-O-E-R-R, at sharpliteracy.org, or they can call the office at
414-270-3388.
And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, Kathleen, for allowing us to be on. And I have one last thing to say about MPS. Mr. Tolbert just stepped in this year, so he's the acting principal of the school. I salute him. We're in 32 schools. I have seen some wonderful work being done with great educators and fabulous principals who really care.
Yep, I'm with you. Thank you very much. Enjoyed the hour so much. Thanks, Marlene and Gregory. We thank them for their time. Tonight again, President Obama, 7 o'clock press conference. You can hear it here. I'm dealing with some family issues tomorrow, so I won't be on the air. I'll be doing something else, but I'll be back again on Thursday. And we're going to talk about that great book about Edward Kennedy, The Last Lion, The Fall and Rise of Senator Edward Kennedy. So be sure and listen to that. And keep listening to us. Great radio ahead here on the Ideas Network.